And if we could all please stand for the reading of Scripture. From Philippians. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. And from 1 Peter, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. We introduce Jeff Tice, who will give us our message today.
Twelve years old was an amazing year for me. It was an amazing year. It was the year that I had always looked for my whole life all the way up until then. From a little boy all the way up until that point, that was my focus. And 12 years old was the time that I had a chance to go with my dad up to deer camp, up to Manton, and for the first time go hunting and carry a gun and be like a man. I remember as a little boy, I was 3 years old or 4 years old, and I'd be out in the woods, and he'd be showing me the mysteries of the woods, every little twig that was broken, every little pile of deer stuff there was another part of the story, and a deer bed, and the deer tracks that went along, and it was amazing to me. I love to spend, from that point on, I have wanted to spend all of my time in the woods, being in the woods, chasing white-tailed deer or turkeys or anything else, and it brought a love to me, and here I am, 12 years old. We go to head into deer camp, and we're all set. It's the opening day for us. For us, it was opening day. It was Thanksgiving, and we get out of the camper. It's early morning. It's a beautiful day, blue sky. There's about a foot of snow on the ground. It's about 10 degrees, and oh, you could smell the cold in the air, and your nose would sparkle with the crystalline of the morning and the cold, and it was just perfect. And we're heading out, and I'm with my dad, and I have my gun, and my dad says, "Hey, look, there's a track here." And up in Manton, Michigan in the early 70s, you could sit there for a week and you wouldn't see a deer. And it was really tough, and so if you saw a track, you went after that animal. My dad says, "Jeff, right here is a track. It's going that way. What I want you to do, I want you to walk into that swamp, go around the swamp into those pines, and then you'll come around to the trail, and I'll be sitting right over there, and I want you to drive that deer to me." And I'm so excited. I'm, "Yeah, Dad, okay, okay, okay." And I'm all set. I head into the swamp and into the woods. And just before I get in there, I get a couple of steps, and he says, "Jeff, huh?" He says, "It should take you about 15 minutes or maybe 30 minutes at the most, and I'll see you over there." "Gotcha, Dad." 2 hours later, I'm in the swamp, and you got to understand, I am a child who has a disability, I have absolutely no sense of direction. And he knew that. He knew that I would probably get lost, and this was a test for him. And I had gotten lost so many times in my life, from little boy on up, that this was a test for him, and this was a test for me. And obviously, once again, I failed. And I'm in this dense swamp. It's horrible, and it's actually very beautiful and wonderful, but it's really also scary. The canopy on top doesn't let much light through, and it's dark, and it's full of mystery, and you can't see very far in front of you from the downfalls and the different things that are in this swamp. And as I'm walking, whenever I got lost, from a little boy on up, I would always pray, and I'd say, I always knew the Lord. I always knew his voice, and he always spoke to me, and it was something so close to me that many times I would just, it wasn't prayer or anything, it was talk. It was just a communication back and forth, much like what I think of Enoch when he walked with the Lord in the woods. And I would hear his voice, and he would, many times I thought it was my own voice. But now I know that it was the Lord's. And I got into this spot, and I realized I'm lost. And I'm like, okay, here we are again. You got to get me out of this. And this is a vast wilderness area. It's about 10 degrees. And my dad told me, he knew I was had no direction. My dad told me that when a person's lost, they have a tendency to walk in a circle. And I knew that was true because I kept coming up to this same spot, this crossroads, and it was weird. And as I'm talking to the Lord, we're sharing this, and I'm waiting for him to get me out of this because I found myself in this place, I keep coming to this spot, and I know that I'm walking in a circle because I see one track, two track, I'm standing on another one, I've passed by here four times already. But I went this way. I know that's the right way to the tent, to the camper. How am I here? And I would get a yearning. I would get a tug in my heart. Some people call it a gut feeling. It was a tug. It was a compulsion to look to my left, and right there was a track that was coming right onto here with the other ones, but it was a single track, and I hadn't taken that before, and it was a compulsion to go up to that track because that was where I was going to get find the camper. Every single time, I would say, nope, I know that's not it. I would deny that voice, and I would head straight down that track, and I would take a variation every time, and it would circuit, and I wouldn't have my track until I'd hit that one spot. Every single time, it was the weirdest thing, and I'd have that tug. Finally, it started to get to dark, and I'm getting a little bit nervous, and my father told me that if you're lost in the dark and the cold, you need to build a shelter and build a fire. Sit there all night. Don't go to sleep, because the fire will go out, and you'll get hypothermia and die. And so I was getting ready to build that fire and that little lean-to, and I come up to that spot and I said, Lord, this is my last chance. You gotta show me the way. You have to show me the way, or else I'm stuck out here all night. And I get a really strong tug, and it's almost like, Jeff, those boot tracks that you saw earlier, follow those. I know you're wrong. I know he's wrong and I'm right, but okay, I'll go along. So I follow that boot track through this course of downfalls, and the twilight is just coming in. I follow that boot track, and 20 yards away, there's the trail that my dad had talked about hours before that he was going to be at. And I look at the trail and I'm like, okay, it must be this way. I start along there and it's like, no, it's the other way, okay? I'll listen this time. So I followed that way. There was a little rise. I get to the top of that rise, and there's the camper, and there's my father standing there with his gun in orange, about 100 yards away. So I spent the whole day probably 8, 9, 10 times about 120 yards away from my father, away from camp. And I wasted the whole day of glorious hunting, just being lost and unable to find the way. And, you know, this is, God stepped in and he created a miracle in my life. And I know, I absolutely know that it was a miracle in my life. When I went up to my father, he's like, where were you? And I'm like, Dad, where do you think? And I said, Dad, it was amazing. The Lord finally at the end walked me out of there, and we had dinner, and it was a great time with us. And we went on, of course, I probably got lost a couple more times through that, but, and I have many times since then. But isn't that the way of our Christian life a lot of times? I mean, I'll tell you what, for the past 3 decades for me, that has been my way. Looking for the direction in our life, looking for our purpose, looking about where we're supposed to go, where does God want us? But we choose, we know better, we choose our way a lot of times instead of listening to God and saying, okay, out of faith, I'm going to step your way. And that's the real thing there. That's the problem. It's faith. Even though we may think we have a lot of faith, it's just maybe we don't have the faith to take that step out and do what he wants. And it's about surrender. It's about finally, as I'm lost, I surrendered to him, and I went up his trail even though I knew it was wrong. And I was able to find our camp. And so, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevail. And that's exactly what I just described to you. Many are our plans in our life, in our Christian walk, but ultimately it will be the Lord's plans that prevail. And this is the great thing. This is what I love, that even though we might struggle and even though we might have a problem trying to surrender our life to God as we walk with him. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For this is God saying this to us. This is a promise to you and a promise to me. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Those are his plans. But at the beginning of time, God knew what your plan, his special plan for your life was. He knew it. He knew what mine was. But stuff gets in the way. We might bring him into our heart. We might have salvation, but stuff gets in the way. So how do we find that? Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, it's also in Mark right here, take up his cross and follow me. But in Matthew 16:24, it says, take up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? Am I supposed to go to the Home Depot and am I supposed to build a cross and put it in the backyard and step upon it and be crucified like him? Guess what? This is a great thing. We don't have to. We don't have to do that because he's already done that. When Jesus, as the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice for us, as he was on that cross, as he was dying, This is true, everybody. Every one of your names and every one of you were in his mind, and he knew you and he knew your name as he was dying. He had to. If he died for each one of our sins, he had to know us, and he had to have that burden of sin. Can you imagine? The torture of the crucifixion is amazing, the physical thing, but can you imagine all the burdens of sin and shame and guilt of every person in the whole world upon the shoulders of one person? And at that time, at his death, he took your and my sins to the grave. And they're there right now. And in Psalms, it says he cast them out as far as the east and as from the west. The east and the west will never meet. That means infinity. It's gone. It's gone away. And we are, if through our faith and his grace, if we take salvation, okay, if we take that free gift from him, remember, part of us, the worst part of us, that old man is buried in the grave. He buried that. And it's gone. It's not a part of our lives. But that's where our struggle begins. Because we don't trust the Lord. We don't trust the Jesus. When we are saved, then when Jesus was resurrected, we are resurrected with him, and we are born again. That's where the term born again is. We are completely born again. We're a new person in Christ. God wants 100% of our heart, mind, our will. He wants to constantly allow his Holy Spirit to integrate with our Holy Spirit so we are one. And so So he is with us at all times. But what do? If you're like me and what I have done for the past 3 decades, I don't trust the Lord enough. I don't trust that new man, that new birth will be good enough and satisfy me enough. Is Jesus enough for me to step all the way into that? All the way into my purpose, or do I look at that grave? Do I reach in and I grab some out and I pull some and I hold it really tight and I have Jesus. I love him. I pray to him. And yet I'm going to grab a little bit more out because it's comfortable and it's right. And it just seems like I need that as I go in my journey as a Christian. And then what we do after that, God wants 100% of us, but we only give him a half of us, because part of our heart, part of our will and mind and our spirit is given up to that old man, that stuff from the past that we want to hang on to. And brothers and sisters, it happens. It's happened with me. And if you're honest, it's probably happening right now, unless you search for that and take a look at that. And so part is Jesus in our heart, and part is our old man. And we give him, it starts out a quarter. Give him 3/4 of our heart, and 1/4 is the old man. And as we walk in our Christian life, maybe it goes to half the old man. And maybe we reclaim 3/4 of that old man in our heart. And we have just a little bit left for Jesus. He's still there. We have salvation. But we don't have the glory on earth and the blessings on earth and the path on earth that he has in store for us since before the age of time. We don't accept that. We want both, and they don't mix. And that's the problem. They don't mix, and they create discord, and they create disorientation, and they create a lack of direction and chaos in our mind. And sometimes we can't even see Christ in our lives. It's really hard. The second part of this is follow me. The first part is take up your cross. Second part is follow me. That means stepping out and actively making choices in your life where you're going to step out and you're going to make choices to try to become closer to God. Make choices to try to take that stuff and put it behind. And he says in Hebrews, he says, since Hebrews 11:40 and 12:1, he says, since God has planned something better for us than what we accept out of our Christianity, than what we accept out of our life and in our path in Christ, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So what this says is we have to bring God, we have to allow, we have to give him permission to be a part of our life. He also says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And you know that, yeah, we agree. But sometimes that's a little tough. Consider this. We all have that storage room, that place in your heart, your house, or that place somewhere, it might be the garage or something, where that's the place where you put all your garbage. And Jill and I, in our house, it's the basement, okay? When we moved into our house, we put everything in order, everything in the place it's supposed to be. And then we had truckloads of other stuff that we had accumulated in our whole life. And our garage is full. We don't have a pole barn. So it goes in the basement. And so the basement is a storage room. And our storage room is so filled up with junk that you had to kind of tiptoe and walk around. You didn't go down there in socks or your bare feet because you were going to get a nail or you're going to get something on the bottom of your feet. It's almost dangerous, okay? That's our basement. Well, last year, we decided to repurpose our basement. So we had to move all of the stuff out of our basement to create walls in our basement, put in an egress window, and put up the drywall, and have a place that is beautiful, a living place. Now we're going to put a wood furnace in there. I mean, this is what that basement was for. It had very little value as a storage room. And, you know, most of that stuff was garbage. Most of that stuff we didn't ever use or need. Jill says we threw out all of her stuff and I kept all of mine. I say we threw out all the junk and we have all the stuff that's worth something. So anyway, it's repurposed. Our basement is repurposed and it's worth something now and it's worth something to us. This is our heart. This is our heart. We fill our heart with a lot of junk in our life. And not only that, we wear that junk. It might be this. We have distractions in our life, and we wear these things as we go through our life. And as I grab these, and as you look at them, some of you might be thinking, what ones of these are mine? What ones are mine? If you do, then this is yours that you're wearing, judgmental. We might be a judgmental person. Death in the family, we've had one of those today. We'll take that and we'll wear it. And we can't give it away. We can't grieve. We can't give it away. We're distracted by our work. status. Let's look at some other things that we fill ourselves with. Materialism, fear, self-hate, cancer diagnosis. We have even more. Fear is a big one. That's up there twice. Selfishness, greed, pride, pornography, addictions, envy, hate. We carry those with us in our journey. In our journey, and here's my favorite one. Unforgiveness. You know, I'm wearing it. I'm walking through life wearing this. A lot of the reason why I've felt so nervous and scared about myself around other people, getting to know them and being in groups of people and sharing with other people and meeting new people, I wonder if maybe subconsciously I think that they are seeing this about me around in this, wearing this, and they're seeing through the facade that I've created in my life that I want people to see. But if they see this, they see someone who's a hypocrite. Chains. It's disgusting. Have you felt like that before? You're a Christian. You have God, you praise Him, you love Him, and yet this is what I look like. Neuroscientists say that 95% of all of our cognitive abilities that we have are unconscious, okay? 95% of everything we think is unconscious thought. Neuroscientists have been doing a lot of research on that. And that means that 95% of your decisions, your actions, your behaviors that you have in life are stuff that you don't even know about, thoughts you aren't even thinking about, and thoughts you aren't even, you're not even aware about. We're carrying this stuff, okay? Maybe you're stagnant. Maybe you're not just borne down with all this stuff. Maybe your life with Christ is just stagnant. You haven't talked to Him for a while. You haven't heard Him in your life. He hasn't spoken to you. Brothers and sisters, He's speaking all the time. It's here that's the problem. It's this stuff that's the problem. These are barriers. These are traps that we allow into our lives that keep us from the loving grace and the blessings of our Almighty God. Maybe we're driving the car. Maybe we're driving the car and we throw Jesus in the back seat. And we're so worried about where we're going, and maybe we're so worried about what the people are going to be like when we get there, or what we're going to do once we get there, etc. Maybe we have all of those thoughts that we don't hear Jesus in the back seat saying, "Hey, let's go get some ice cream and talk." That's kind of, there's a lot of different things. I'll tell you what, to get out of this, you can't do it yourself. You can only do it through the blood of Jesus and by bringing Him into your life. And if you want to get rid of this stuff, you can't do it from outside in. You can't say, "I am getting rid of addiction. I'm getting rid of, I'm sick and tired of hating people and holding grudges on them and being unforgiveness. I hate the materialistic persona that I have, and I can't live in God's grace and his beauty because I'm too wrapped up in that cancer diagnosis or sadness or whatever. All of this stuff is really, really bad, but you're not going to give it up by fixating on it and saying, I'm going to do it alone. You can't do it. The more you fix on it, the more it's on your mind, and the more you want a drug or you want the beer, whatever it is. It's got to be done from inside out. In Galatians, it says, for all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. All of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. Okay? In order to clothe yourself in Christ, you got to take off the old man. You got to take off the old stuff. Because it's worthless. It's not the way to Christ. Take it off. And in Matthew, it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus says. Take the old stuff off and take me up because my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Do we trust that? Do we trust to go there? Also in the Psalm 37:23, it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So not only is his load light, he opens up your path for you. He shows you. It's part of the blessings of having a whole heart for him. Okay? He is calling us. Every Christian, he is calling us to two things that help bring this about. He's calling us, first of all, to get close to him. He wants intimacy with us. He wants our heart. He wants to spend time with us. And he wants to be able to talk to us and tell us, share with us. He delights in us. And it's our calling to become more like Jesus. I want you to close your eyes 1 second. Close your eyes 1 second and imagine Jesus taking a beautiful and amazing lamb's coat that's vibrant, it's beautiful and it's warm, placing that on your shoulders and covering you. Think of it. Jesus is covering you with his coat. And that is exactly how God sees you. He doesn't see you like I looked before. He doesn't see your sin. He sees our Father sees Jesus in us, covering us. So what do we do? How do we become like Jesus? Becoming like Jesus means that we become sanctified. Sanctified means you become holy. It's our calling here on earth to become holy. God cannot accept unholiness in our eternal kingdom. And yes, wherever we're at, if we're saved, if we have salvation, then we will be made holy once we get there. But it's our job to work on getting more and more holy, to become more sanctified, to become more like Jesus as we go. In James 2:20-22, it says, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. You know, Abraham wasn't perfect by any means. There were a lot of things wrong with Abraham. He goofed up a lot. He was a beloved of our Heavenly Father. But there was a time God gave him a place to live and said, there was a drought coming, and he's like, I'm leaving. And God said, no, just dig some more holes for more wells, and you'll have enough water, trust me. He didn't trust him. He went to Egypt. He took his wife. He said his wife was his sister, gave his wife to the king at the time so that he could have favor in the court, and then had to leave under difficult situation with Sarah afterwards. And, I mean, it wasn't until he was like 108. I don't know how old Isaac was when the sacrifice was supposed to be made, but he might have been 108, 110. I mean, he was old before he was found righteous, and he had developed true faith in his life. And so, but what he did, he stepped out in faith. He listened to God. He stepped out. This is it. Action steps. This is what God expects for us as if we're his children. I know everybody says you need to read the Bible more and you need to pray more. Yes, you do. But what I'm asking you to do right now is to make a commitment to actually set aside time to read the Bible. Set aside time to pray. When you read the Bible, I heard a preacher say, when you read the Bible, it's where you're listening to God. When you pray, you're talking to God and you're sharing yourself. What happens is you build intimacy. I'll tell you what, it is possible to do that. Even though we have all these distractions of the world, it's possible to do that. I'm retired now, so I can spend 2 hours a day, my first 2 hours. And I literally do that almost every day. Jill knows it's time to go to the prayer room. Me and my dog, we head upstairs. My dog loves to pray, loves to read the Bible with me. We sit there. With me, it's on my knees, except when I had my shoulder operation, I had to sit in a chair, but it's on my knees. For me, it's God doesn't care if I'm on my knees or on my face. At Gethsemane, it says in Matthew that Jesus stepped in there, and he was on his face, prostrate before God, lamenting and asking God for his help. It doesn't matter. The matter is the time that you spent, the time you designate to spend. You think, well, I'm working, and I can't do that. Well, I had a challenging and difficult job. I would get up. I would pray. All the way to getting ready, I would get in the car, I'd pray on the way to work. I'd get to work, and I'd get to work a half hour to 45 minutes earlier, and I'd get on my knees in my office, and I stayed there until I was done, and I'd read the Bible for 15 minutes. At lunch, I would pray another half hour or read the Bible, and I would pray at night on the way home. And so I took the time, and I decided I am going to give this time to God. What has he done for us? He gave his son. He's invested his son. His son has invested his life, his love, and his humility into us. Can we not just give a little bit of time and develop a little bit more intimacy with Christ? Talking and listening back and forth. Pray that Jesus will transform you. And I'll tell you what, we have free will, so you have to give him permission to transform you, to become more like Jesus. Okay? Pray that he will give you a hunger and thirst. The more hunger and thirst he gives you, the more you want of him. And it's not a chore. Then it becomes something really great. And then what he will do, he will take this stuff and He will change you from inside out. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I'm not there. But, I need to keep going. But he will change your desires for desires of the old man to desires of his heart. And it will happen, and it takes time. But that's a part of what is called sanctification, getting more whole and growing to be more like Christ. Okay? I've talked too long. I have more, but I think I might bring it to a close. But brothers and sisters, we need to take that. We need to take that, and as we build ourselves up as foundations for our Christian living, and we need to share it with our brothers and sisters here. I mean, Brother Kit has died. We need to get together. We need to share that. We need to grieve that. We need to grieve things that need to be grieved. We need to laugh with each other. We need to fellowship and build each other up. So then ultimately, we can walk out those doors and we can be what Jesus asked us to be several times in our scripture. He wants us to be our hands and feet, and it doesn't mean standing on the street corner and giving leaflets and screaming. It means sharing his love, sharing his peace, putting those boots of peace on, and wherever you walk, sharing Christ and letting people know and letting those seeds be planted in people. He says, Jesus says, don't store your treasures on earth. Store them in heaven. And you know what those treasures are? Those treasures are every single seed that you plant of Christ in every person that you met who at some day will be with him in glory. Or maybe you're a nurturing person. Maybe you're a waterer. It says there's three types of people: seed planters, nurturers, and waterers. Those are your treasures. Really, that's what matters. This junk here, it's like a vapor. We are like a vapor. And it seems difficult. It seems sometimes like it's we don't have the ability to do that. But I'm going to leave you with this, two promises that God gives us. He says in Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident in this, that he who has done a good work in you will carry it on to completion. His work of goodness and his plan will be carried in completion to you if you are a child of God, until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 12:2, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the beginning, the person who began, the author of our faith, and the perfecter of our faith. He will perfect him in us. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be here. We're so grateful, Father, that we are able to share and we're able to worship with you and we're able to share our heart and a passion for you, God. We love you. We worship you. And I ask you, God, to just a little bit, Lord, just work your will into us and help us, Lord, to give you permission to have more of us, to put away that junk that has been clouding our lives, Lord, and to help us be transformed and be more like Jesus, not just reflecting like a mirror, Jesus bouncing off of us, but God having Jesus inside us and exuding him with those, the wounded and the hurting outside, Father. We thank you so much for this day. We ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen.